All right, we're not at Jack's today, but we are live at the Class 6A Girls State Golf Tournament, where the Garden City Buffaloes finishing third as a team, and then Abby Shattuck shooting a 74, which if you took all my rounds of golf in 30 years, I don't think I've ever shot 74. So congratulations to her. That's what we came on an extended show on KWKR. But now we focus on the college, and we bring in a guy that is a lot happier this week than you were last week. Matt Miller, congratulations again on a huge win. A, you keep your postseason hopes alive as far as bowl game, and two, you beat Dodge City. You can't argue, and whether it's high school or college, of the rivalry between these two teams. And I know, you could be out here for 2 days or 20 years and know that there's no love lost between Garden City and Dodge.
No, not at all. And, it was, just a tremendous team effort, and that's why I think, it made it so special. Is we obviously understand, we could easily be, have a lot better record than just one play in three games, and it is different. And, the team could have got down. They could have, packed it in, but they came to work, with a great attitude, every single day. And, we felt something special was going to happen, and we know how good this team is. And, we showed it on Saturday night, and that couldn't happen, against a better team, especially when they're having, they're talking a lot and they're excited about, their season is one of the best ever. And they were playing for something very important. They're playing for the number one seed in the playoffs. If they had, won our game, they would have been the number one seed in the playoffs with home field advantage through the entire playoffs, which is huge. And, that because we were their last conference game and they were in first place. So they had a lot to play for. We had a lot to play for. And, I couldn't be, prouder of my team and of my coaching staff.
All right, we'll get into the bowl scenarios and all that a little bit later on in the show. I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to start with your offense. We're going to forget about the defense here for about 15 minutes. We'll talk about them later. But Tyreek Hill does what Tyreek Hill does. But I don't think a lot of what Tyreek Hill did – I mean, Tyreek Hill can do whatever he wants because he's the fastest guy on the planet. But Jake Curran set him up with the option. In fact, you and I were just talking about this off the air as far as you couldn't have run the option better than what Curran did, whether he was pitching it back or keeping it himself.
Yeah, he, it's interesting. He has a real knack for the play, and he's got a great feel for it. And, when he had to keep the football, he found some creases and made some nice runs. And, Tyreek's first, real long touchdown was, set up by, they came with Jake and made a great pitch, and Tyreek was gone. And, I would like to point out, our tight end, Alan Kramer, doesn't get a lot of, a lot of accolades or respect or anyone, his name doesn't come up very much because I really don't throw him the football, but, very much. So, he's kind of a, guy goes out there, does all the grunt work, and he helped, seal the edge on the option, which was huge. And our tackles, Dontavious Blair, Colby Hamill did a fantastic job. It was just, as I said, it was a great team effort. And anytime, I'm an option guy, and we've had to kind of, completely take it out of the playbook, but it hadn't been one of our more productive plays this year, which is, it's very concerning to me. It was very concerning to me, and finally get it going was very, very good news for our offense. And Jake did a nice job with it, but it was a group effort. They all did a nice job.
Let's go to your offensive line, because I thought for the first time really a couple weeks they played really, really well. In fact, I think they played well against Highland. I mean, if you grade them against Highland, they did well against 5-6 man rushes, and Dodge tried to do the same thing. I mean, they were, like you said in the second half in the postgame show, they were just bringing everybody, and you guys said, all right, you're blocking. You got five guys plus Kramer there, so you got six guys. Sometimes they're bringing seven and getting chip blocks. Yeah. They never touched your quarterback.
Yeah, they really did a nice job, and that all goes back to how they're coached. And Coach Mercy Flez, our offensive coordinator, does a great job with them. He's very sound technician, and he's got those guys playing at a high level at a lot of times in that ball game this past week. And on third down, I mean, there was no doubt what Dodge was doing. I mean, they were gonna bring they're gonna send every weapon possible at us. And so we finally started getting smartest coaching staff and just started getting the max protection, so trying to throw the ball deep, and we had guys open for touchdowns. Jake hit Tyreek on a huge one. It was just one of those plays, and but they were there, and they were coming after us. But Jake, he showed a lot of poise. He did miss a couple of those throws, but he didn't get down. He came back and kept fighting and led us on some great drives after that. And was I couldn't have been happier with his play. I really couldn't. And his leadership, it's fun to see him grow, if it's just the last three games of his college career, you know, we don't know anything about the bowl game. I'm just glad to see, you know, a guy's dream, you know, come to fruition here in Garden City, being a Garden City guy. And I couldn't be, you know, more proud of a player and of a person. And, you know, it's just exciting to see. It's exciting to see.
You know, and that is Matt Miller joining us here on the Buster Coaches Show. And another thing that we were talking about off the air, you could put a new offense in, like, you just scrap everything and put it on Friday during your walkthrough. And Jake Curran, who's got an IQ that's ridiculous, and I've talked to him. I mean, that's one of the things that Jake excels at is the learning curve. There really isn't a learning curve because he's been running your offense now for 2 years.
Yeah.
And he sat behind Nick Marshall last year. But you could put a whole new offense in on Friday, and he would have no problem.
Yeah, he could do that. I mean, Jake's a very intelligent young man. I mean, Jake's going to be, you know, successful in life and whatever endeavor he decides to go in. I mean, he's just that type of young man, and you know, he could be president even. I mean, he's that type of guy. So, you know, again, that definitely helps him. His smarts help him, but you know, I think people don't give him enough credit for his athleticism, you know, his ability to throw the football. And again, these are his first few starts of his career.
Yep.
And you know, even though he is a second-year sophomore, so you know, so he's on a learning curve, but he's definitely he's moving up that curve very fast. And you know, I'm excited to see what he's got this week for Coffeyville.
Take a break. We come back more on the huge win over Dodge. We'll talk about, you know, if you look at the numbers, you see Brandon Snell only catches one ball, and you know, Jake only completes four passes. You think, well, there's no way you win, but boy, when everybody pitches in, which is exactly what happened. All three phases, you get a big-time win on the road. More on the Coach Show coming up live from Buffalo Dune. Alongside Matt Miller, Mike Pilosov joining us here on the Buster Coaches Show, live from the Buffalo Dunes, home of the 6A Girls State Golf Tournament, which was played from about 10 o'clock this morning, and it just wrapped up about 45 minutes ago. We're talking with Coach Matt Miller, and again, a huge win on the road. When you came in last week, and you know, you knew you were eliminated from the playoffs as far as mathematically. And one of the only reasons you were eliminated is just because of scheduling, because Dodge City did not have another conference game after that. If Dodge City has another conference game, you guys are still alive.
Yeah.
I mean, which is kind of wacky, to say the least, that you don't close the season with a conference game, but what do I know? But you guys went in there, and you played. And I know one of the things that you had pointed out to me, and you've said it all season long, and you backed it up, and I even wrote it in my article on the website, was – you contend that this is the best team in the conference, and you guys proved it against the 11th-ranked team in the country.
Well, you know, we believe we are, you know. But again, you know, sometimes, you know, the old saying goes, you are what your record is, and we are what our record is right now. You know, we can talk all the talk we want, and we can believe all we want to believe. And believe me, we do believe on, you know, in our coaching staff, you know, the players on our team, you know, who we are and what we're capable of doing, you know. But unfortunately, as I said, we missed one play in three games, and that put us out of playoff contention that quick. But this is a special team, a special group, and we're gonna do our best to, you know, finish 6-3. You know, we expected to finish better, but you know, that's nothing to shake your head at. We're gonna fight hard.
The improvement, if you look at just compare and contrast, I know it's a different team. You don't have Nick Marshall from last year, but it's almost like it's a better team this year because your defense is much better. In fact, it's one of the best defenses in the country. You look at just some of the scores. I mean, Butley they put up 80 points on you last year, and then they put up 50 in the playoff game. Hutch put up 50 points on you guys last year, and you know, you just look comparable on the scores. You led Butler 3-2 at half. It was like the bottom of the fifth inning.
Yeah, good three-run shot.
Yeah, good three-run shot by Miller with two guys on a guy in second and third. And then second half, it's like they changed things up, but you're still in the game. I mean, and you forced seven turnovers. There has not been a team on the planet that has forced Coach Morrill's team into seven turnovers in, you know, God knows how long. I mean, they had four turnovers the week before against Highland.
They're turning the ball over quite a bit this year. But, yeah, you're right.
But not seven.
Is amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and just looking at those games, how much do you just kill yourself? You can't go back and do anything about it now, but how much do you kill yourself about that now?
Well, you hope, you know, you're over it, you know, by Monday, Tuesday. Obviously, there's a little bit of carryover, but, you know, obviously – myself, you know, as a leader of this team, you know, I can't let our team see that. You know, there is still some lingering, and there always will be. I mean, you know, especially when season's over, when you can really sit back and reflect and do those things. But, you know, again, I'm proud of this team. I'm proud of the way we fought. I'm proud of the discipline they've shown. I'm proud of, you know, the improvement that they've continued to make, you know, week in and week out. out, and you know, we were, you know, it was a season, you know, very close of having a very, very special season. And to speak of our defense, you know, Coach, you know, Jeff Kelly, you know, does a great job of coordinating it, and you know, Coach Joe Gordon did a fantastic job bringing in, you know, part of by bringing in this 3-4 system. We implemented it; that it was fantastic as an implementer and as a coach. And you know, he's done a fantastic job with the secondary. You know, with those guys back there, they call themselves the Cheetahs, and so Coach Gordon's been, you know, a great addition to my staff, and couldn't be happier, you know, with him. And Oscar Rodriguez is just you know, another fantastic coach, and so, you know, they're not only great football players, but they're coached by, you know, some of the best coaches around.
You know, when we say we're proud of this team, like, you know, it kind of goes to a point where, you know, Ross and I are calling the game on Saturday, and I'm looking away for a split second, and all of a sudden I see a personal foul flag come out, and, you know, Ross and I look at each other, well, we got to throw a flag with 3 minutes to go, and Dondre gets kicked out. So what happened? Because we didn't see what happened. I mean, I don't know if you've seen what happened or if it was another one of them. The phantom hankies that comes flying out, but do we know what happened at this point?
I got a good feeling, you know, after speaking with Dondre and other people that were eyewitnesses to it about what happened, and it was an unfortunate situation, you know. I think on both sides, you know, are we happy about it? No, but again, is there anything we can do about it? No. So we just got to move on and then do our best to get a victory this week for Dondre, you know, being a sophomore himself.
Yeah, no, and that kind of basically answered my next question. His dad, he can't play in the
– Cannot play. No.
Okay. So, and that's the unfortunate part. And Dondre's had a great season. I mean, it's a guy that did not play last year. And, yeah, you know, Jeff Kelly's raving about him all the time because when you talk to him, and well, he really – just the parts on that front three that you guys have with him, Obi, and Rafael Bernard could tackle a semi, I think. But yeah. – I mean, that's a pretty stout front three.
It really is. And, again, you know, just as I spoke before about, you know, the amazing job, you know, that I think Coach Gordon's done for our secondary and with our defense as a whole, you can, you know, go up front and Coach Rodriguez, you know, with those three has really, really, I mean, done a tremendous job with them. I mean, if, you know, anyone could have told you, you know, going into the season that they expected that type of year from, you know, we call him Pitt, but Dondre Elvoid, you know, I don't think anyone would believe you. And so, you know, those coaches on that side of the ball, you know, from secondary on down are getting the job, getting the best out of them.
Yeah, and we always focus on the defense. And here's another point. You force 5 turnovers in this game, and the defense set up the offense, which is the way it's supposed to work. You guys get the back-to-back turnovers to start. Devontae Derrickott gets his 3rd pick of the year. Sam Green gets an interception, and then Tim Hill has an – everybody got an interception, I think, at that point. Wonderful Terry, I think it's the first game he didn't get an interception. Yeah. So – you talked about Joe Gordon in the secondary. People don't realize when you look at your corners. I always compare Tim Hill. I know because I'm a Jets fan. Darrell Revis, and then Wonderful Terry, who has 2 returns for touchdowns this year, and he has a special teams touchdown. You got some pretty special guys. You know, we know the coaches, but yeah, you got some pretty special guys in that back end.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt about it. We're talented back there.
And I didn't even mention McHale, by the way.
Yeah, I mean they're special, and you know. Again, McHale, you know, is a free safety. I mean, he's everywhere. You know, there's really not a pass downfield that he can really not, you know, I think he's not going to get to. And, you know, he's got those special skills. But, you know, our corners, you know, I knew they're going to be tested, you know, this past Saturday night. You know, speaking with Coach Thomas before the game, made a comment about how Hutch, you know, thought they could come up and press man their wide receivers, and he said, you know, we hit them, you know, 2 deep ones early, and I got them out of that. So, you know, Coach Gordon knew they were going to do that, but again, Coach Gordon's also got those guys ready, you know, for press man. And if you're going to press, I mean, you know, you're going to get someone's going to throw a ball deep on you. I mean, that's what we did. I mean, yeah, you know, we had some success with it. So, you know, you're going to get tested, and those guys, Tim Hill, you know, I mean, he's you know, stride for stride. I mean, there's not even they didn't even have a chance on any of those fades, and Wonderful too. You know, he's they're special. You know, I don't know why every Division I college in America is not offering both of them right now. But, you know, it's still a long time for those for signing dates. So, you know, pretty soon people are gonna wake up and realize, you know, what we're lucky to have here and who they should be signing. And those two are 2 of them.
Would you agree that
– Sam Green as well is incredible.
Yes, and we've seen he's got a knack for finding the football and making tackles. But would you agree that – maybe one of the reasons why defensive backs, and I know the kid from Hutch, the one that when you guys played, he's a Division I guy, but would you agree that mainly because you look at Tim Hill's number, he doesn't have 12 interceptions.
Yeah.
But that doesn't define what a cornerback is supposed to. Now, obviously, you like interceptions, and you guys have plenty of them.
Yeah.
But they don't even throw his way most of the time.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, if you're, I mean, if you, you know, it's, if you're that great, and you got guys covered, you know, like, you know, blanket like Tim does, you know, you're not going to have stats. Because, you know, the quarterbacks are taught not to throw to covered guys. And when, you know, you look at Tim's side, they're covered. So, you know, people don't throw his way. So that's why you don't see the stats that you see with other guys. But, you know, I guarantee you, if you talk to any other coach, you know, in this conference, you know, any of them would take Tim Hill in a second.
All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we'll focus on Coffeyville this week. I know you guys are leaving tomorrow, basically. That's a nice 7-hour drive towards the, I think it's somewhere on the eastern side of the state. So that's coming up. Also, the postseason possibilities, we'll talk about that as well on the other side. All right, wrapping things up on the Buster Coaches Show, live from Buffalo Dunes here in Garden City. Ross Miller had to hit to a banquet, a special banquet his daughter cross-country team is having tonight. So it's just me flying solo, but we have Matt Miller, head football coach, a 41-22 win on the road against Dodge City. So now the focus turns to Coffeyville, and, boy, they just got hammered last week, but look who they were playing. But anyway, you guys have been breaking down film, looking at this team. They were picked, actually, if you look at the preseason, we were just talking about this off the air, they were picked third. You guys were picked fourth. And it looks like, obviously, neither one of you are going to be in the postseason, but, boy, they've had a lot of problems, really, at the quarterback position.
Yeah, it's, you know, the one thing when you know, I talked to the guys today, you know, the one thing you have to realize about Coffeyville is this is still a team that went down and beat NEO, mm-hmm. you know, a top 10, top 5 ranked team. They're a team that's had top 15 teams in this conference, you know, on the ropes. Dodge City, you know, Dodge City had to, you know, last play of the game to beat them. So, you know, they're not a team you can take lightly. And then, you know, when you throw in, you know, the tradition that they have there at Coffeyville, you like to think that those, you know, those coaches are going to instill some pride in those, you know, those young men to come out and play and play for some pride and play for themselves. And so we're ready for battle, and that's all we can do. And, you know, again, as coaching staff, we are, you know, coming up with game plans. And, you know, hopefully we'll, you know, have a good one again. And I'm sure we will on both sides of the ball and just get after it.
One thing that you haven't had to worry about this season is making these long trips and then coming back after a loss. You made a long trip to Cisco. You came out with a win over there. You made the long trip to Fort Scott. You came out with a win over there. Now, Hutch, not as long, but as far as these long road trips, you've been very successful. It's almost like, you know, it's a business trip. You go there, take care of business, and come back.
Yeah, let's make it 3-for-3. That'd be great.
Now, final game of the year. What do you want to see from these guys? I mean, from week one to now, what's the biggest difference that you've seen? And what do you want to see from them closing out the year?
You know, just the little things, you know, just continually getting better, you know, at, you know, just pure execution of our offense, you know, continue to, you know, play smarter football on offense, not turning the ball over. You know, last game, we had all the way up until, you know, fourth quarter at the end of it until we had a turnover, and that was something that's has plagued us offensively, and just you know, have consistent drives on offense, you know, which is what we've tried to get done, you know, this season, and at times we haven't. You know, defensively, you know, I think they just keep getting better and better, you know, every game, I'm sure that's exactly what they'll do this Saturday.
So what's the plan now after this game? I know you guys can't say really after right now because we don't know, but and we were talking about the postseason and bowl games and you know, what the possibilities are right now. You finished 6-3. You actually finished, you know, better than last year's team that got invited. Now, I know last year you made the playoffs, but what do you think in the back of your mind is a realistic possibility for this team now going forward?
You know, to tell you the truth, we haven't thought about that because there's one thing that I know for sure. If we lose, there's absolutely no chance at a bowl. So all we can do is focus on going 1-0 this week, facing a tough opponent in a tough environment and, you know, bringing back a victory. After that, you know, we'll see, you know, the cards will fall how they fall. You know, again, you know, we put ourselves in a position that, you know, we could be disappointed. But we could also use that as motivation for future because, you know, we're not just building. This isn't just a, you know, I didn't come here with a one-year plan. It's a multi-year plan. And, you know, this is a great start. And, you know, hopefully, you know, finish it with a great victory, you know, on Saturday. We'll see what happens this year after that. But, you know, hopefully propel us, you know, just to, you know, greater things in the future.
All right. Speaking of the future, I know that you come from the Bill Snyder school of thought when it comes to recruiting. You've told us that. And, it's not that you get late starts because you have other guys taking care of that and helping you out with that too. But what do we sit on that right now?
We're recruiting.
Yeah. Not completely like Bill Snyder.
Yeah. No. But we're not. As I said, we're not out on Saturday mornings just getting the games late. I mean, our team, our coaching staff, they're preparing for games. We'll catch games Friday nights, and that's basically what every staff is doing. The moment season does end, believe me, we will be all over the state of Kansas. There'll be no stone unturned, and we got great relationships with the high school coaches, and there's a lot of tremendous ones here in the state of Kansas, and we're lucky to have some great relationships with a lot of them, and just excited to see some of those guys when we go out recruiting, and hopefully bring in another fantastic class, and there is some focus on the out-of-staters is being becoming huge with the 20 rule. So we just got to continue doing that, and we're gonna be fine. We'll be fine recruiting.
And that's the other thing too. You lose guys like Dontavious players. You lose him. You lose Ryan Johnson on the other side. So you lose your anchors on the offensive line. You lose somebody like Tyreek Hill. I mean, that's a huge loss. Obviously, Nile Daniels. So. And that's the thing with junior college football that maybe a lot of people don't understand. There's so much turnover because it's only a 2-year deal. Yeah. So you're lucky to have the Mikhail Graces and some of those guys for another year. So, but talk about the losses and how you feel those losses, and how you don't pull all your hair out as a junior college coach.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're never going to replace Tyreek Hill, Dontavious Blair, Devontae Derrick-Cott, Earl Clark. So, I mean, special guys like that, the Tim Hills. But, you can hopefully, get some guys with, exceptional talent, and, make them better. That's the only thing you can try to do. We've got some guys redshirting right now that we're very excited about.
And we should mention that, too.
Yeah, we're very excited about. So they're on campus right now.
Matt
McDonald coming back next year. I mean, we're going to be, skill position-wise, I'm not worried at all. We're going to be fine. Quarterback, we're going to bring in some people to compete with Akeem. And there's no doubt about it. I don't like anybody to be stagnant and think they got a job, the job. So there's going to be competition there. Obviously, the lines are huge. We've got to, fill, basically both offensive lines. We got to, put new guys in there. But we got some guys that, are, as I said, young freshmen that are getting better, that are with us right now, and some guys that are redshirting. But again, we need to, fill those guys in with a great recruiting class. And, with the guys I have on staff, I'm not worried that, we will bring in football players and good football players and guys that I think Garden City could be proud to, say that they are, representing them.
Well, in Matt Miller, we trust.
I appreciate that.
There you go. Coach, we always appreciate you coming in. Congratulations on the victory. We will see you on Saturday.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Mike.
There you go. That is Matt Miller. That's going to wrap it up. Another edition of the Buster Coaches Show here on AM 1030 KBUF. Good job again by Brett Erskine back in the studio for my partner, Ross Miller. I'm Mike Pilosoff. Coming up Saturday, Taco Bell pregame show from Coffeyville, a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick right here on AM 1030 KBUF.